Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've been with the president recently. I've watched him in these meetings. I've seen the way things are working. There is no chaos. But I can tell you this, unlike in the administration you work for, there's no doubt who's running the country, and it's Donald Trump.
Let me just tell you on the chaos. You never want to have chaos in your national security team, and that's what's happening right now. You have chaos at the Pentagon. You have had Hegseth's own advisors say that. You have a National Security Council who is decimated because of Laura Loomer. You have various agencies where they have fired career professionals all throughout the national security apparatus.
Fired the bureaucrats.
You know what I mean?
High-end
threat environment, Scott.
Exactly.
We cannot have this type of chaos in our national security.
So Scott Jennings on CNN there talking to the panel. And if you didn't see the rally that took place in Michigan earlier, I guess it would have been Tuesday when that rally took place, then you probably didn't get to hear Scott Jennings go on the stage. Trump calls him on stage, and I thought to myself, I don't know if CNN's going to really like Scott Jennings coming up on the stage at a rally. That might seem a little unbecoming, maybe. And it didn't become a problem at all. They act like there's something going on between the Trump administration and Scott Jennings. Like maybe there's some sort of position that's being cultivated for Scott Jennings. I think Carolyn Leavitt's doing a fantastic job, but Scott Jennings as a press secretary would be just really, really funny. And I wouldn't also put it past the Trump administration to create another press secretary sort of position, maybe a traveling press secretary or somebody who could split the job with Carolyn Leavitt if they were in lockstep with Carolyn Leavitt to be another messenger of the Trump administration. And Scott, I can't think of a better person out there right now than Scott Jennings to joyfully present the message of the Trump administration without fear of friend or foe who would like to ask him a question for clarification or to push back, because he does such a great job on CNN. But what you hear him saying there is that, no, there's not any chaos in the Trump administration at this point. And I really honestly think this might be the most terrifying thing for people on the left, the super crazy activist left, to hear that, no, this is what complete and total in control looks like in the Trump administration. They made sweeping promises during the campaign. The president and then candidate Donald Trump made significant transformational promises and commitments to the American people should he get elected, that there really wasn't going to be a corner of the bureaucratic government, the swamp, that would go untouched in his time in office should he be elected. So naturally, you know, if you look at what Joe Biden promised when he came into office, he was supposed to be the uniter in chief. He was supposed to be the adult in the room. He had so much experience because he was old. He had so much experience in Washington, D.C. that he was going to go in there and just bring some sanity and some calm and some maybe even predictability to the White House once again. And you know, the breakneck pace of this Trump administration, the Biden administration, pales in comparison to what the Donald Trump administration is being able to do in just about 5, 6, 7 days. The idea that the Trump administration is not flying by the seat of its pants, is organized with people in places and the legal defense in place going into these executive orders that they're looking to codify through congressional approval, that's a really frightening thought. And it's very difficult to sell the idea of an orderly process to whatever the Trump doctrine is, on whichever aisle you want to walk down, if it's foreign or domestic, to know that the Donald Trump administration came in with the very best of the best that they could assemble to get all of the things done that they promised the American people. They came prepared. They did their homework. They understood said assignment. And now they're producing. And that's very, very scary, just 100 days into an administration, for the people on the panel with Scott Jennings on CNN. I understand that. This desperation to make Pete Hegseth look like some sort of enemy of the state and to try to paint Donald Trump as incompetent for choosing him. It seems as though the effort that's being put into trying to criticize and make this thing happen against Pete Hegseth, I just figure there are probably places in the Trump administration that you could pick on that would get you more mileage out of the effort you're trying to put into removing Pete Hegseth from that position. Unless, of course, the thing that he is doing is a direct threat to the people who benefit from the status quo. It sounds to me like Pete Hegseth wants to go into wars that they have to be in and win them with the least amount of American death, the least amount of danger, and the least amount of loss to the American people as possible. So win the war decidedly, quickly, securely, and only the ones that we absolutely have to be in. Well, I don't know anything about anything when it comes to these things. I only know what a lot of people talk about, what a lot of people are consistently trying to shine a spotlight on, which is like War Inc., the industry that makes a lot of money manufacturing and selling bullets, and that the longer the wars go on, the more money certain people make. I don't know. Is Pete Hegseth a threat to that? Maybe. It seems as though trying to make Pete Hegseth the fall guy for the Trump administration, that's not the message to me that translates to voters. Pete Hegseth falling flat on his face, if he were to do that, and he has not at all yet, Pete Hegseth falling flat on his face is not going to make people who voted for Donald Trump go, well, I can't support this any longer. I can't support the Republican Party any longer. The persuasion to get Pete Hegseth out of there, to me, doesn't really seem the end game there doesn't seem political. It doesn't seem like a vote getter. It seems more like an ideology conflict that's getting a little too close to the target for the people who are opposed to him. Now, there are other things that can be criticized if you are, you know, of a different ideology of the Trump administration that might persuade people to vote against the Republicans the next time around, that might persuade people to support this president less than maybe they did in November of last year. But I not only don't see a concise message from the Democrats as to what we would be supporting instead of the Trump administration. Even the things that they're criticizing him on, they don't seem to be things that American voters, American taxpayers are going to look at and go, well, obviously the other side has their act together on this. So they sow these ideas of chaos and they try to pitch character flaws for Donald Trump. Listen, we know that he has character flaws, and we know that Donald Trump would consider the things that you think are his character flaws part of his eclectic personality. He would consider them an asset. He feels good about what he's doing. He's doing what he promised he would do. And the American people are looking at this right now and having to ask themselves that question, or answer this question that's being asked by the left all the time. Did you vote for this? That's the YouTube poll for today. We're asking you this because it continues to pop up on social media timelines everywhere from people who are deeply rooted in the progressive left, and they'll pop something up like today's acknowledgement of how we're going to do deportations a little bit differently than they have done before. Now, Bill Malugin, who I assume in 10 years is going to be sitting behind an anchor desk somewhere and probably one of the lead anchors at Fox News. He has done such a good job when it comes to bringing the actual story to what's going on the southern border. I think that he has really sown for himself a very strong future. He's giving this report about the Trump administration's new take on deportations. And I think that the Trump administration makes some sense when they go about this.
So Fox News can report exclusively that DHS will announce today that they're going to start paying for the commercial flights of illegal aliens who self-deport from the U.S. And on top of that, they're going to pay them an additional $1,000 stipend once they're confirmed to have left the country. Now, DHS says doing this is going to be significantly cheaper for the American taxpayer. They tell us that right now it costs on average about $17,000 to arrest, detain, and deport someone. They say paying for self-deportations and the stipend will only cost about $4,500 per person. That's about 70% cheaper. Aliens are going to have to register to self-deport on the new CBP Home app to access that DHS financial assistance, as well as announce their intent to leave the country. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem tells Fox in part, quote, "If you are here illegally, self-deportation is the best, safest, and most cost-effective way to leave the United States to avoid arrest." In the meantime, here in the sanctuary city of Los Angeles, ICE confirms to Fox News that three suspects arrested in connection with the home invasion murder of a man in the Woodland Hills neighborhood last Sunday are all in the U.S. illegally.
So Bill Malugin, when he's delivering this report, mentions that the new plan to encourage people to self-deport through the app that they have, is it CBP Home, I think, instead of One? They're saying, do this yourself. We'll put you on a plane, a commercial flight, back to your country of origin, we'll pay for it, and we'll send you with $1,000. I remember Eric Adams, didn't the mayor of New York start providing cash handouts to illegal immigrants that were being shipped there? I think the number in my head was $900, but it might have been more than that. And they were providing cash for them, and it was I think it was maybe to find their own housing. I'd have to look up the story, but I remember not loving the idea that we were just like handing out cash to people. But the difference between that story in New York City and this story right now is this is to get them to deport. This isn't to get them to the next month where you have to go and do the exact same thing again. If the net savings on this is 70%, Ryan, don't you think that this is a businessman's deal to say, how do we save the American people money while ultimately we're getting what we want, which is these people to go back where they came from, to do so on their own accord, and then maybe there might be a system in the future that brings them back.
It's absolutely a business decision. Whether or not, it to me, this one feels a little bit less like Trump than usual, though, even though it's a business decision, because it creates the incentive that, oh, if I wait a little bit longer, maybe they'd go up a little bit more.
That's how you think people would look at it?
That's how I look at it, is that it's creating incentives for people, like the vaccinations. Well, if I wait another month, maybe they'll give me five boxes of Twinkies and $20.
Oh my gosh. I don't take it in at all like that. I think it's like, I better hurry up and get this while the getting's good, because the other thing, the really valuable thing about putting yourself on this app is that you are then deprioritized to the bottom of the list of who would be sought out for deportation. Brad, do you think that, would you look at it like Ryan does? Like, I'm going to hold this out and I'm going to get a better deal for me.
No, because this is different than the COVID policy, because on the other side of this, you have Tom Homan and his crew packing people up, sending them to El Salvador, and just wrapping people up in huge raids, in cuffs, posting their pictures, letting everybody know what's happening. And then the other side of that is, too, is if you get caught in a raid, you go to the end of the line, and actually you may be completely banned from
ever. You're blacklisted. Yeah, you're done.
You can't come back. So your options are, maybe I take some money, or maybe I get deported and never come back, or I take some money and I leave, and then I can get in there and do it the right way.
Imagine waiting around for $1,500 and getting deported by ICE instead, and I don't think that that's the deal that these people are making, but maybe Ryan's right. We'll see. We want to know what you think about whether or not you voted for this. Now, of course, there are several options that you can weigh in here on today's YouTube live chat poll. Have you heard anyone? Have any of your lefty friends sent you an article and be like, did you really vote for this? Well, we want to know what you think. Your options for today are yes, this is what you voted for. No, you didn't vote for Trump. So that's your yes, I voted for Trump and I like it. And no, I didn't vote for Trump at all. But then we have two more qualified ones. The answer would be no, you voted for Trump, but you don't like it. Or no, you didn't vote for Trump, but you were happy. Ethan encouraged me to add that last one, and I think that's a good one as well. So come to the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. It's in the live chat of today's live broadcast. And tell us, did you really vote for this? We'd love to hear from you. When we come back, Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, we're going to talk to the general about the minerals deal that was secured, signed, and delivered, about that meeting that took place in the Vatican, correct? Is that where it was? The meeting with the two chairs and the two leaders and no staffers, no handlers, no nothing. Donald Trump, Vladimir Zelensky, one-on-one, and a minerals deal with Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg next.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
So you think you're close to a deal? What will Russia have to give up? Because Ukraine, there's been discussions they will have to give up some of the land.
Russia will have to give up all of Ukraine. Because that's what they want.
All of Ukraine, meaning they wouldn't keep any of the land that they've claimed?
Russia would have to give up all of Ukraine. Because what Russia wants is all of Ukraine. And if I didn't get involved, they would be fighting right now for all of Ukraine. Russia doesn't want the strip that they have now. Russia wants all of Ukraine. And if it weren't me, they would keep going. You know that the European Union leaders have asked me to call Putin so many times because he doesn't return their phone call?
President Trump speaking on this Meet the Press exclusive interview about what the actual goal here for Putin and for the Russians is regarding their pursuit of taking that country. And the question is, are we going to be able to get a deal where this war ends? We talked to somebody who certainly is at the epicenter of trying to make peace happen. And that's our friend, Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, the assistant to the president and special presidential envoy for Ukraine. General, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you here.
Hey, Annie, thanks for having me. Always good to be with you. What's up?
So talk to me about what the president said last night. He's saying that he's pushing Russia back against taking the entire country of Ukraine. Is Russia working with the United States to get a deal done, a peace deal done with Ukraine at all? Or is there any cooperation?
Well, it's limited. By the way, before I go, the president's absolutely right. This war wasn't started on his watch. He's trying to finish this thing up. We've got the Ukrainians working with the European Union and working with what we call the E3, which the Brits, the French, and the Germans, in a pretty good position. And we know where they want to go, what we call a term sheet. Not so much with the Russians. The real impediment to progress are the Russians right now and getting to a peace effort. You know, the war's at a stalemate, Annie. You know, and what I mean by a stalemate is, you know, when Putin keeps saying he's winning. No, he's not. If he was winning, he'd be in Kyiv. He'd be on the western part of the Dnieper River, which is a major obstacle. He'd be in Odessa. And the advances the Russian troops are making are measured in meters, not in miles. Mm. And the Ukrainians have got themselves in a pretty good set defensive position right now. So it's time for them to come to the table and say, this is as far as it goes. This is what we need to have peace. The president's absolutely right. He talks about stop the killing. What we want today, and the Ukrainians are willing to do that today, is a comprehensive defined as air, sea, land, and infrastructure, a comprehensive ceasefire for a minimum period of 30 days, which can be extended. Ukrainians are willing to do that today. The Russians, not so much. So we need to get to the Russians to that position where they're willing to go to a ceasefire, not a 3-day ceasefire, but a 30-day ceasefire. And then you can start talking about the other issues that need to be brought up. But that's where the president comes from in stopping the killings. He's absolutely right. You know, in this factionless goals that Putin has, he's not going to achieve them. He can talk about it all he wants. It's not going to happen.
Hmm. We're speaking with General Keith Kellogg here, the assistant to the president and special presidential envoy for Ukraine. You know, we've got the president. President Trump, who's trying to work with a relationship with Vladimir Putin. We also have seen some highs and some lows between President Trump and Volodymyr Zelensky. The blow up in the Oval Office, and then we saw that iconic photo that took place in the Vatican, and then we have a minerals deal that has been signed. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about the relationship between these two countries, these two men, and where we are right now in the strength of that relationship.
Well, I think it's a good relationship, Annie. I think that not only the iconic picture that we talked about him being in the Vatican in Rome just recently, but the fact that they got together one-on-one and were able to talk it without a crowd being around him. And he recovered from the issue we had in the Oval Office. And signing the minerals deal is a security deal into itself as well. And I think what you see right now is this relationship starting to develop. You know, Ukrainians, people forget how big Ukraine is. You know, Ukraine's the third largest geographically, the third largest country in the European environment today. And they've lost about 20% of their land, but they're willing to fight for their land. In the first UN General Assembly meeting that the president spoke at in his first term, he talked about if countries fight for their sovereignty, we'll be with them. And that's what Ukraine's doing right now. So I think the relationship has developed. It's a good relationship in that regard. And I think what the president is trying to do, I believe, you get the Russians kind of brought back into this large family of nations, which is smart. And he's the only one, as he said last night, he's the only one who can really do it because Putin won't talk to anybody else. He won't talk to Macron of France. He won't talk to Starmer of Britain. He won't talk to Merz, the new chancellor of Germany. The one guy he talks to is President Trump. And so that's the reason President Trump is so key to this. And I think this will end rapidly once Putin realizes this is as much as he's going to get with a term sheet of what it looks like and go to the ceasefire, which I think will get extended. And then we can kind of iron out all the other details. Mm. But it's going to be up to Putin to do it. But I think the right person to be able to do that is, in fact, President Trump.
We're speaking with General Keith Kellogg right now about the conflict and the war in Ukraine. I hear President Trump uses a phrase. He calls Ukraine the apple of his eye, of Vladimir Putin's eye. Can you explain to a lot of the people who have been watching this now for years manifest in this very, very bloody, awful war in Ukraine? Why is Vladimir Putin so willing to sacrifice so much of Russian blood over Ukraine? Why is it the apple of his eye?
Well, I think when you look at Ukraine, he always considers to be part of Russia, and he thinks this is a goes back to what happened on the rollback of the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact, which he believes is the greatest disaster that ever that ever happened to the Soviet Union, was the dissolution of the Soviet Union. And Ukraine's a big part of that because Ukraine is so valuable. I mean, it's got Black Sea access. It has incredible minerals. The fact is, it's always been a good country. It's more of a warlike country with the Cossack tradition. And I think Putin just wants to have that as a buffer against the other states, be it Germany or be it Poland. And this is a way to create that buffer with Belarus to the north and Ukraine to the south. So this is what he really wants. But honestly, Annie, he's not going to get it. The Ukrainians, he's created an animus with the Ukrainians that will never be changed for generations. So he's never going to be able to acquire all of Ukraine. First of all, he doesn't have the ability to do it. What I mean by that, with the term we use, he doesn't have legs or logistics to get to the western part of Ukraine. And he can talk about it all he wants. It just won't happen. And I mean, it would have happened 2.5 years ago. It didn't happen at all. And now he's stuck in a stalemate. We're into our fourth year of war. So I think, you know, Putin sees that as a rollback against the West. It gives him buffer against the West. It's a pretty prosperous country. It's like a lot of people forget how important it is for economics of Russia. It's like it's like our Midwest. It's the grain belt of for that part of Europe. It's a grain exporter, and the people are a pretty talented group of people as well. Mm.
General Kellogg speaking with us right now, the assistant president and special presidential envoy for Ukraine. I'd like to touch a little bit on that minerals deal. It happened. It's a big story, and so many other things are going on. I'd like to talk a little bit more in detail about it. From Fox News, it says the agreement will establish the United States-Ukraine Reconstruction Investment Fund to help accelerate Ukraine's economic recovery. That's according to Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. In this minerals deal between Ukraine and the United States, what does the United States get out of the deal, and what does Ukraine get out of the deal?
Yeah, well, first of all, it gives us some economic leverage. It gives us what we call precious metals. You know, I'll give you just one example. For example, we import titanium. They export titanium, which is used in a lot of our microelectronics. And it's a valuable asset to have. So when you look at it, that's the one good part. We get precious metals. The second thing out of it is now we start getting to what we would term a return on investment. Instead of, you know, passing money from the American taxpayer, this is a chance for us to recoup some of that money through this precious minerals deal. And I think that's important. The third piece of it is, in fact, it's part of a security deal. I mean, when you've got American investment in the country, then it becomes part of our, you know, part of the United States economic reasons for being wherever we're going to be at. And you want that to be part of your security. So I think there's some good advantages that we have. Now, I will tell you what needs to be done first is we need to get our U.S. Geological Service out there to survey it, because the last survey was done by the Soviet Union. So we really don't know what's there full term. But we know there's a lot of precious metals there of all types. And that's one of the reasons we went there. And by the way, the Ukrainians offered that up. This wasn't something we just came up with. It was actually done in partnership with the Ukrainians. They said, hey, look, let's work together on this. It helps you. It helps us as well. And is there some economic advantage, not only for both sides, but also fiscal advantage as well?
General Kellogg, before we let you go, on a broader sense, watching Russia be a bit obstinate in wanting to work on peace, it seems as though peace is not in their mind at all. It doesn't seem like that's what they want to see happen here. A lot of people in the United States of America, of course, are looking at this conflict and knowing of the capabilities of Russia. And I'm just curious if you see, in any sense of a timeline, this conflict getting larger, with conflicts taking place in the Middle East, China's special economic interests, does this conflict bring in frenemies across the country or across the world to Russia to strengthen them, to embolden them to potentially expand this conflict?
Well, you know, and it's a great question, because this is unlike what we saw 4 years ago. What I mean by that is 4 years ago, all these countries were discrete. They were separate. North Korea, China, Iran, and Russia. Now they're all together. You know, the Russians have got security pacts with all three of them in some type of partnership relations. With the North Koreans, who are providing troops and ammunition as well. You know, that's the reason why you see up to, you know, 15,000 to 20,000 North Korean troops fighting inside Russia against Ukraine because of security pact. The danger of that, of course, is to reverse it. What happens if the North Koreans attack into South Korea? Well, the Russians are obligated to support them with troop levels. The same we go with the Chinese economically, and same with the Iranians as well. So the risk you run into is a wider conflict. I don't think we're going to get there, though. I think what's going to happen, this thing's going to end sooner than you may think it is, which is going to be good. And then we can start, for lack of a better term, picking apart these countries. It's sort of like a game of whack-a-mole, where, you know, in the first administration, if the arcade game, if a mole raised its head, you'd knock it down with a hammer. Now all the moles are up at the same time. We need to peel them apart through economics or through some type of structure that we're going to develop with the North Koreans, as well as the Iranians in the Middle East and the Chinese as well. And it brings, you know, I always like to say this, it brings the Russians back into the friendly League of Nations. That's what you want to do. And you want to lower the temperature. So is the risk there? Absolutely. And that's one of the things we want to avoid if we all can. And I think that can be done. We're in the fourth year of war, but he's tired of this war. Let's bring it to a close, stop the killing, and, you know, bring some security to that part of the world. Then we can focus on other issues as well.
It's a pleasure to speak with you, as always. General Keith Kellogg with us here. Thank you for your time today, and continue doing what you're doing. And you know, we've got a lot of hope and trust in what's going on right now with this administration, and we're grateful for the inside look.
Thanks, Annie. Thanks for having me. Always great to be with you.
You as well. Bye-bye. Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, the Assistant to the President and Special Presidential Envoy for Ukraine, on X at General Kellogg. Two L's, two G's in Kellogg. Great conversation there. I don't think I really understood completely the thing that he said there that really pinged my, sense was that the Ukraine minerals deal was Ukraine's idea.
No, I don't know that I realized that either.
Which seems like a big deal.
It does, especially since they've had such a hard time hammering it out. You're like, well, then what's been the problem? Because we came to the table pretty quickly on that.
Well, and I've heard people in the progressive left be like, oh, so we're going to go pillage Ukraine for all take in. Like, that isn't it at all.
The last question you asked, I thought was really interesting because
that was my nice way of saying, are we going to have World War III?
I mean, well, okay.
Just so.
But the way he answered it was that. It was in the past, it had been like playing whack-a-mole. A problem arises in the world, you knock it down, they just kind of pop up. And now they're all up. And the problem is that they've all kind of joined together in a way. We saw the reports about North Korea joining with
Russia. They certainly haven't spoken out against one another.
BRICS and all the economic stuff. So it's almost like the first thing he has to do, Trump, is to have a conscious decoupling of all of these nations and their treaties and whatever they have going on together, and then deal with them one at a time.
And you don't even really. This might be the smartest or dumbest thing I've ever said. I don't really know. You don't really need to have good positive relationships with all of them. You have to have them with the right ones, so that the ones who you can have a good relationship with won't partner with the other one, because the other one won't cross the United States.
Which is what's so genius about the way he's doing these tariffs. He's focusing on the nations that will isolate the biggest enemy first. And we don't have those deals yet, but that's who they're talking to right now. India, Japan, South Korea, they're all on the table.
Yeah, you don't need to be BFFs with all of these countries. You just need to know that they can't cross you. So you position yourself so you have the relationships that say, well, you know, if enemy A wants to partner with my neutral to positive side of neutral relationship with country B, country B won't do them any favors because they won't cross the United States. So it doesn't matter if enemy A isn't going to cross the United States, because they won't have anybody to help them.
You want to be on good terms with us.
And scary. You want to be scary.
You want to be we want to be respected. That's all.
Walk softly.
Carry a big stick.
Yes. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America, when we come back, the Monday Roundup, the stories you might have missed. You won't want to miss what we have coming for you next. And the YouTube live chat poll, did you vote for this? Yes, you voted for this. No, you didn't vote for Trump. Or no, you voted for Trump, but you don't like anything that's happening. Or no, you didn't vote for Trump, but this actually isn't that bad. Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can go leave your vote right there. And then, of course, leave us a comment. Tell us why you voted the way you did. Doug commented and said, I voted for more than this. I didn't have that as an option, so hopefully that's a yes. And Vicky said, yes, I voted for this. How about you? Wiggins America next.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
On my podcast, Aspire With Em Agreed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire With Em Agreed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Policeman taps the shades and sell a Chevy 69. How bizarre.
Well, the president from the White House right now is announcing that Washington, D.C. gets the 2027 NFL draft. Stop the presses. I don't care. Do you care?
No.
At all? Brad?
Not at all.
Not really, no.
If we still had the Rams, would you care?
No, where it is?
Not at
no.
all.
No.
Zero.
I mean, I didn't even know that they moved it around.
But I find it interesting that the mayor of Washington, D.C. is there standing next to Trump. And I have a theory that he's just trying to do things in places where people hate him, so they have to come to the White House to accept things. Like the Governor Whitmer, which we never talked about this, manila folder in front of her face is the funniest thing I've ever seen in politics.
It is.
And then the next week when she is welcoming him to her state because it was some sort of military investment that was being made in Michigan. I don't know, you guys might have talked about this, but he invites her up to the podium to speak, and she's so uncomfortable, and she handled it like a champ, though, because her message was essentially like, oh wow, I didn't know I was gonna speak, I didn't have anything prepared. And then she said something positive about the troops and she walked away, and I'm like, she's a pro.
Yes. I feel like I just Ed McMahon'd you. Yes, it is true, Annie. But
okay,
it is true because it's so weird watching her. She does not know what to do. She just grins and goes, I'm in a swing state.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she probably wants to be the president.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she's trying. I don't know if President Trump and this administration is trying to help Michigan, because Michigan really pushed him over the edge to win the presidency. If it's just like a genuine from the heart, listen, I'm here to help all people. Or if he's simultaneously prioritizing this because it could ruin Gretchen Whitmer's career.
Yes.
Yes. Like,
yes to all.
The art of the deal. Am I right?
Wiggins. Oh!
Anyway, that was all to say.
This is the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Mariel Bowser standing in shot this entire time up there, and I just think
the mayor of D.C.
Huh? Interesting.
Yeah.
What do you got for us today?
I got some really, I would say, most important news you've ever heard, maybe.
Yes. Thanks for the compliment on the first part of the show.
Well, that was implied, but not directly said.
Well, usually you just say it passive-aggressively.
So we'll start with this. A Delaware County woman is now in custody after she allegedly defecated on another person's car during a road rage incident.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa,
that
whoa.
Was captured on
video. Whoa, 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 whoa.
This came across my feed.
Start from the beginning.
OK. Okay, once
again. Just repeat yourself.
A Delaware County woman is now in custody after she allegedly defecated on another person's car during a road rage incident that was captured on video.
I thought that's the best part. Somewhere in there that you said elderly woman.
No, not elderly. Allegedly.
Okay, that's what I heard.
But, you know, it is on video.
For some reason, I got so hung up on the elderly part that I needed to know, but now that that's not part of the story, it's okay.
I wanted to do a really good amount of research, so I brought audio for this.
You get a big thumbs down from Brad in traffic from that one.
That video, shared thousands of times on Instagram, shows a woman identified Thursday as Christina Salometto walking to another woman's car. The 44-year-old sits on the hood, or not showing the most graphic part of the video, including when she appeared to defecate on the car.
So she got mad.
What's a worst word? What's a worse word? Defecate or poop?
Poop.
I don't know.
Defecate is at least somewhat official.
Yeah, I don't know. It's closer than I think you guys think.
Yeah. I don't, how would we measure it?
They're both pretty dang bad.
I'm not at like an 8 on pooping.
Yeah,
I don't really know what the rating I would give it would be.
Yeah, I don't know. The more I think about the word defecate, the more I'm just like, eh, nope, that's not the word either.
I agree. And I'll move.
How did you preface this segment? Was
most
the
important news that you'll ever hear.
All right, thank you. Are we done yet?
I can't believe thousands of people shared that. Why would you want that associated with your feed or your timeline whatsoever?
Well, have you seen the internet?
Well, yeah, have you ever
with
been
your
on
own
the internet?
Page?
What kind of standards are you thinking people are swimming in that cesspool?
Like, I'm not sharing this. This is a woman defecating on someone's car.
This is below me.
Next story, since I played the whip, and I'll just throw this out there just to see if you guys are interested, or I'll move on. Grand Theft Auto is now coming out next year.
Yeah, Ethan, have you ever played Grand Theft Auto?
I've played it, but I've never owned
it. Did you enjoy playing Grand Theft Auto? That's a yes.
It was okay.
Brad?
Yes, I've owned it, and I play it.
Do you play it still?
No, my Xbox is broke, but I did whenever my Xbox worked. It was a lot of fun.
Have you ever played it?
I've never really played it, but I've watched people play it a lot.
How old is that game now, the last one that came out?
GTA 5 came out before the Xbox One came out.
So it's like
10 or 15 2?
Years. It's like 12 years old.
We had a PS2. I used to play Grand Theft Auto a lot. And then I literally got carjacked in downtown St. Louis, and it just hits different.
Does it?
Mm-hmm. It's a filthy game.
Oh, it's absolutely terrible.
It's just...
And everybody knows it.
I wouldn't be surprised if there are people who poop on your car in Grand Theft Auto.
I don't know, but
if there aren't, there will be. If you said you delayed it,
yeah, that'll be.
That's why they're like,
ooh, gotta add that in.
Well, it'll be the most popular game of all time.
It was supposed to come out in the fall. Now it's coming out next year. I did pull some audio from this story too.
To be able to poop on a car like that was impressive, but it was disgusting at the same sense.
Crazy. Oh shoot, sorry, that was from the first story again. Okay. Well, anyway,
we'll weigh in more on the story at 105 if Steve Moore is otherwise inclined. It'll be at the top of the paper
we'll
stack that we pull off in case of emergency. Break glass.
Trump orders 100% tariff on foreign-made movies to save dying Hollywood.
So I got into that, and I was thinking it was B or not the B.
It's not.
This is
are all real stories.
100% tariffs on foreign-made movies.
Nobody really knows exactly how he would do that. I'm not sure he knows how.
What's a foreign-made movie?
That's a good question, because is it that it was edited here, written here, well, elsewhere, shot there? Movies are shot all over the place.
Well, I guess you could go to Hawaii. Like, a lot of movies are made in Hawaii to insinuate many tropical places around the world. But there are other places that you would need to go in the world to capture a certain setting. I guess we can only write, like, American movies now.
Well, that's why nobody really know. And they asked some Hollywood executives to comment, and they're like, "Why? We don't know. We have no idea what this means." But Secretary Howard Lutnick has said, "We're on it." So I guess the details will be figured out.
Don't worry. We don't know right now either, but we will.
That's exactly right. A little bit of audio from this one, too.
Oh, God.
She faces a number of charges, including indecent exposure and depositing waste on a highway.
Ryan.
Sorry about that. You
hit the whip
twice.
That
was from the first story again. Oh, doggone it.
Our view's going up or down right now. Not crazy.
They're actually a negative right
no
now.
No pun intended, folks.
She said, oh, crap. Mm-hmm. That was super funny. All right. John Fetterman's staffers are blasting the senator's mental health, but the politician is saying, nope, that's all crap.
That's crap.
Bombshell story in the New York Magazine features several concerning accusations about Fetterman's behavior, including not taking medicine prescribed after he spent time in mental health facility in 2023.
So they got to this point, and they're like, is there something going on with him?
We think he might have a problem.
This is, right now we're at like peak Fetterman.
Right.
Like, he's doing better than he's done the entire time he's been in federal office.
Yeah, the reason this one is interesting is because it is his own staffers, current and former staffers.
Because he's not in lockstep with the Democrat Party. He still has some wildly leftist progressive thoughts. And
yes.
He's not a Republican.
Yeah.
He's just not a dyed-in-the-wool party sim.
You always ask, well, what's the motivation here? And I found this sentence in the article here from Daily Mail. It says, quite the opposite. The Intercept recently reported that Fetterman's campaign is bleeding money and losing small-dollar donors ever since his meeting with Trump. So is there another motivation for the staffers going behind his back here? Maybe it's not, he's not progressive enough, like you
said.
All
of our comments in the YouTube chat are about poop.
Yep.
See, why are you doing that? This I have, it's on me, a little error on my part that I continued to mess up and play the audio wrong.
How many times do you have to do it before it's not an error, Ryan?
Well, we're past that. I can weigh in on that one.
These are purely accidents. I want my bosses to know that. I would never do
this. Did you vote for this? And I'm talking about the Trump administration. Annie Fry YouTube channel, go vote. We'll be right back. Don't go away. How bizarre.